know, I learned very quickly that validation cannot come from the outside. It really has to come from a place of truth. And, you know, it was important to me that I had to honor who I really was, and it just took time.
I'm Michelle King, and you're listening to She Innovates. It's a show that tackles the challenges and achievements of women across areas like innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. Many of us know Nicole Richie. She's a celebrity that rose to fame in 2003 following her appearance on the reality television show, The Simple Life. Since then, Nicole's taken on the fashion industry, founding her own label, House of Harlow 1960, more than a decade ago. Today on the podcast, Nicole's going to be sharing with us how she's established her business and built a brand that really represents who she is. She's also going to be opening up about why balancing motherhood and life as an entrepreneur is a constant battle. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm great.
It's so great to have you on the podcast today. And, you know, I really just wanted to kick this off by diving right in and, you know, maybe getting you to share with our listeners your background and kind of how you ventured into fashion and what your journey's been like to date.
So when I was little, I was a competitive figure skater, no big deal. This was during the time when Nancy Kerrigan did the Olympics and Vera Wang designed her Olympics dress. It was a black and white. I don't even know if you remember that moment, but it was a very big moment for me. And my dad's costume designer, who did all of his costumes for his tour, was making me my dresses. And I was designing them and saying what I wanted and what I didn't want. And when I was around 10, she said to me, you know, why don't you just come downtown with me and you can make these decisions yourself instead of us doing this whole back and forth thing. And that was really my first introduction of the idea that you could come up with something in your head and then have it come to life about 2 weeks later. And so I was really in that process. I was competing all the time. And so that was just something that I kind of got used to and got into my head. And then, you know, just started doing it like when I was traveling, when I was older, I would just grab things like anything off of a kiosk, you know, anywhere. Like I would be in Indonesia with my husband now, my boyfriend at the time, and I would, you know, grab something and make it into a necklace. Like that's just what I did all the time. And then I met a guy named Pascal Mawad, who was a licensee for costume jewelry. And he asked me if I wanted to try it. And I did. And I was 26 when the costume jewelry first came out. So I was working on it from the time I was 24. And my whole life was changing at that time. I mean, I really didn't even know if it was something that I could actually turn into a business. I knew that I loved creating, but obviously there's, you know, more to it than that. But once I, you know, really got into the business, it was something that I loved. And then I never looked back.
You know, I really think that's so great that you've had the courage to kind of go after what's inspired you. You know, just kind of about that journey, could you share, you know, where your business is at right now and kind of how you got there?
Yeah. So I'd made a decision to take my apparel out of any sort of brick and mortar, out of all department stores and just do online. And, you know, this business has changed and also the world has changed over the past 10 years, which is how long I've been in this business. And for me, it's pretty simple. I mean, that's where my customer is. That's where my girl is. A lot of people that have been, you know, wearing House of Harlow since the beginning have, you know, really followed me even since I was on TV. And so I definitely feel a personal connection to those girls. And I make a very strong effort to, you know, really understand them, where they shop, who they are, what music they listen to. And so, you know, based off of that, I decided to take the clothing out of stores and put it online. It just felt like it was a more direct conversation with my customer. And, you know, the process of asking a buyer to tell this story for me to my customer, it just felt like I personally had some frustrations with that. And then, you know, just with technology in the world and, you know, feeling like you can have a direct conversation with these girls was something that I really grasped onto.
And did you find that sort of, you know, changed your business in a positive way?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. You know, there are obviously, there's so many different versions of success, right? For me, I want to be able to stand 100% behind what I'm doing. Even if it's a failure, it's my failure and I can stand behind that. Yes, I've made mistakes throughout this business, of course. But, you know, I think for me, the biggest mistake that I've ever made is making decisions based off of what I was told that I should do, you know, in order to, you know, meet minimums or make more money. You know, it didn't necessarily ring true to me. It does to other people, and that's great. And they have booming businesses. For me, it's very important that I stand behind everything that I create.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners can, you know, relate to that. So, you know, one of the things I wanted to address was sort of how you evolved from being a television star to a fashion designer. You know, how did you make that transition?
I mean, it's a totally different part of myself. It's exposing a completely different side of my creativity. It's like exercising a different muscle. And when I first went into the business, there was definitely some pressure from the outside and more pressure that I had put onto myself, you know, to really show that I could be a serious designer and that I was very serious about this business. And I am, at the same time, I'm still me. I love to have fun. I love color. I love sunlight. And, you know, I learned very quickly that validation cannot come from the outside. It really has to come from a place of truth. And, you know, it was important to me that I had to honor who I really was. And it just took time.
And I mean, you're still kind of balancing all of that, right? I mean, that's one of the things I would love to know is how you manage everything, because you're in the entertainment industry, you're running your own company, and you're a mother.
Yes.
So how do you go about kind of managing your time?
It's funny. There's not one way to do it. And luckily for me, I have a great group of girlfriends who are also working moms. And I think, you know, in the first 10 minutes of any of us seeing each other, it's always a rundown of questions. Okay, how are you doing it? Do you have help with your kids? What time do they start? What time do they finish? Do you work in the morning or do you work at night? Like, it's this puzzle that no one has the answer to except for you, because you're setting up your life, you know? And as my children grow and their needs change, my business has to change also. You know, it's like everybody's needs change. And so it's this constant moving puzzle that I'm always, you know, I feel like every year I'm saying, okay, I think I'm going to try it this way. I mean, I'm always changing my method in order to be a present mother to my children, which is so important to me, and really give everything to this business, which is also extremely important to me.
You know, I think that resonates with a lot of women in our audience because, I mean, personally, I love the idea that there's not the sort of one-size-fits-all approach or some sort of perfect standard out there that we're all measured against. I mean, for me, that's a really great message.
Yeah, that there's one way to do it, and that is just, you know, going to be the answer. And the truth is that it's not, you know, and you could get it right and it'll last for about 3 months and then all of a sudden things change, you know, and you got to figure it out from another place.
So Nicole, I mean, just kind of going back to your business for a second, you know, a big part of what you do is about being innovative and creative. And, you know, you touched on mistakes and failure earlier. And I just wondered, do you have any sort of strategies or examples in terms of, you know, how you go about being creative and, you know, not worrying about failing?
You know, I wish that I could tell a younger version of myself some sort of trick that would have made me believe in myself when I first started. But I truly know that there are some things that it was just time. It was just time and like being in this business for as long as I have been. You know, I view mistakes as blessings because, you know, listen, you're just like, okay, that didn't work. So on to the next. And there are a million different ways to be in this business. It's all about staying true to who you want to be and how you want to spend your time. To me, my time is the most valuable thing that I have. I had to set up my life based off of how I wanted to spend my time and what I personally wanted out of it. And I've had partners that didn't necessarily want the same thing, that had other ideas for the brand. I've sat across from my friends that I respect that are in the same industry, and they've had other ideas for my brand too. And I think there's a balance of being open and listening, and then taking a beat, going home and asking yourself if that is aligned with where you want to be also.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's so important, right? To sort of constantly check in with yourself, particularly for entrepreneurs. And so, you know, one of the things that I wanted to discuss was just kind of your career in the fashion business, because you've been at this for a long time. And, you know, given that, you must have experienced numerous challenges over, you know, the course of starting a business and building a brand. So could you maybe share, you know, what some of your biggest challenges have been and kind of how you overcame them?
I don't know if I would call it a challenge, but I would say it's the most consistent, and it still rings true today. And it's something that you in this industry constantly have to work on, is you have to fight for your signature and your DNA of the brand. Like, you have to fight for it for your life, because it is very easy to get lost in other people's versions of what your brand should look like. And so it's less of a fight, I would say. It's more of like working out. It's like constantly exercising and being almost aggressive into diving into yourself, so that anyone can look at a piece that you have designed and said, okay, I know who designed that, and I understand the story behind it. And, you know, that's something that you constantly have to do every single day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so critical. So look, you know, Nicole, one of the things our listeners really love is advice from our guests. So I just wondered, you know, if you've got any sort of key pieces of advice for women who maybe, you know, want to start a career in fashion or who want to build their own business. Have you got anything, you know, you can share?
Sure. I would say to dive into yourself and your brand. It's so much work, but it's exciting, and it's an opportunity to get to know yourself more. And we're really talking about creative, and there's so much of that that really is perspective. And it's so cool to not only get to know your customers and watch them change, but also like to understand yourself and how your eye can change too, and how you can gravitate towards things that you wouldn't have necessarily done the year before or 2 years before. And, you know, to watch that evolution, not only of your customer, but of yourself, is actually very exciting. Another piece of advice I would say is to understand that weaknesses are just as powerful as your strengths. So, you know, understanding where you need help and where you need support is, I think, extremely truthful and brave. And, you know, to be able to surround yourself with people who are stronger in areas that you fall short on. I'm a creative. Being a businesswoman is something I had to learn. It wasn't just in me. And there are people that are the other way around. So it's impossible to think that you can be every single thing. Understand what you're great at and understand what you need help with. And, you know, go out and find somebody who can help you with that. I would say that indifference is poison. You really have to stand strong and, you know, really listen to yourself, listen to your instincts, really just go after what you want. And at the same time, be open. Anytime I can be around someone who I feel like has great advice, whether they're in this industry or not, that's something I would never pass up the opportunity to do. Work is work, and it's hard work, of course, but there is such thing as working with love. To love life through labor is, you know, I think the best thing that we can do. Then the last thing is to root for your peers, root for people around you. And if you show support to others, they will show support to you.
Love life through labor. That is a fantastic piece of advice. So look, my last question is really just, you know, what are your plans for the business? So what are your aims and aspirations for House of Harlow 1960?
Ultimately, this will be a lifestyle brand. And my idea of success is being able to create and stand 100% behind everything that I do, and to be proud of it, and to get to share my process. I love showing my work to my friends. It's almost like I designed for my girlfriends. I love having them around, and also having my kids around and having them watch me work. And, you know, I think that's also another thing. I mean, I don't know about you, but when my daughter was a baby, I was like, okay, I'm setting up my life and my business. So I worked out of home. You know, I was like, I'm not going to leave her. This is how I have to set my life up. And then she went to school, and I kept the two worlds very separate, because I wanted her to think and know that I, you know, was 100% dedicated to her. And then that kind of changed as they got older, because I realized how important it was for her as a girl to watch me work for what we have and go through the wins and the losses together.
I loved hearing from Nicole and, you know, how she's transitioned from a television star into the fashion business and how she's built her brand over the years. And the thing that I love most about this interview is that Nicole really sees her brand as an extension of herself. You know, her message about fighting for your DNA in your business and your brand is so important, because all too often it's easy to get lost in other people's ideas of who you're meant to be. So I think that's a great takeaway for all of us, and it's certainly something that I'm going to keep trying to do as I write my book and build my brand. Today on Fairy Godboss Insights, we're sharing some really positive news from the technology giant Microsoft. The company recently announced that it will only work with service providers who give their employees at least 12 weeks of paid family leave. Analysts are saying it's the first for large American firms, which often outsource work to contractors that may not provide paid leave. Microsoft is based in Washington State, which in 2017 announced family leave legislation, including paid parental leave. Microsoft partners with over 1,000 service firms across the country, many of whom will be forced to change their policies to continue doing business with the technology giant. So this is great news, and I definitely think this announcement from a company like Microsoft is a move in the right direction. You know, reflecting on what Nicole said earlier, I think this is a great example of how a company is really trying to reflect their DNA in their business decisions. So if you're interested to learn more, please check out fairygodboss.com. So I really hope all of you enjoyed our episode today. And just a quick reminder before you go, if you haven't already, please subscribe to The Fix, which is my weekly newsletter. Every week, I tackle a specific theme, including topics on gender equality and advancing women at work. I also share some of my own personal advice and insights, drawing on my own experiences as a thought leader, speaker, and author on the topic of gender equality. So please sign up at michellepking.com/thefix. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll catch you guys again next week.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media, a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.